Thank you, Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, July 10th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Sandra Nyaira.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Harare Municipal Police today allegedly set on fire some goods owned by street traders as the local authority intensified its crackdown on illegal vendors.
This is inhuman. They have no heart at all. They don't even care about human rights. They do not care about people. People have got their money tied up in their stocks there, and they are killing people. People are fending for survival. This is money. This is all they have.
Thousands of Zimbabweans are expected to attend a prayer rally at Zimbabwe grounds in Harare tomorrow for Occupy Africa Unity Square leader Itai Dzamara, who was allegedly abducted 4 months ago.
We've invited a number of churches, we've invited a number of civil society, and as well as various political leadership. Everybody is welcome to attend that prayer rally.
And President Robert Mugabe says the world must always be prepared to tackle diseases like Ebola.
It is important to recognize and emphasize the need to embrace inclusive and complementary Ebola response mechanisms.
These stories and much, much more coming up.
Harare Municipal Police today allegedly set on fire some goods owned by street traders as the local authority intensified its crackdown on illegal vendors. Our correspondent Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Some Harare street traders woke up this morning to find their bales of clothes stored at the footbridge near the council headquarters set on fire and were quick to accuse municipal police of touching their wares. One of the affected vendors, Gibson Gandawa, told Studio 7 that all the clothes he had ordered for resale were destroyed.
This is inhuman. They have no heart at all. They don't even care about human rights. They do not care about people. People have got their money tied up in their stocks there, and they are killing people. People are fending for survival. This is money. This is all they have. What do you expect us to do anything? There are no jobs. Council took people's money, and there's nothing they are doing. They should have given us our money. People have been paying money for them to sell here.
Another affected street vendor, God knows Mataruse, said it would be difficult for him and others to repay the money that they borrowed in order to start their vending businesses. Acting Harare Town Clerk Josephine Ngwe denied that municipal police were responsible for setting the goods on fire.
We have no reason to do that, and we didn't do it at all. What our officers have on record is that there are guards actually who are employed by the vendors, and those guards are employed to guard the goods overnight, and they are there 24 hours a day. And during the night, it is those guards, from the information that we have, who lit a fire because of the low temperatures at night.
Police spokesperson, Senior Assistant Commissioner Cherit Charamba, confirmed receiving a report on the incident, adding that police are carrying out their investigations. At the same time, Charamba said most of the vendors who were arrested yesterday were fined for allegedly conducting themselves in a manner that was likely to breach peace, while only three of them remained behind bars after they were charged with assault. She said they allegedly attacked municipal police who were evicting them from illegal vending sites along Speak Avenue. As council intensifies its crackdown on street traders, the MDC, led by former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai, is urging the vendors to stay put, arguing that the government must put the economy back on the rails first before evicting them.
We are doing everything within our power, our lawful power, to protect the vendors. This is why we have come out very clearly to say that vendors should stay put, and you realize that the vendors, obviously in conjunction with our youth, are doing everything that they can to make sure that they are not removed from the streets.
Movement for Democratic Change councillors once attempted to remove the vendors from the streets, but the move was blocked by First Lady Grace Mugabe, who urged the street traders to occupy the streets. Local Government Minister Xavier Kasukwere has told Harare City Council officials to ensure that street traders are relocated to designated vending points or risk losing their jobs. Some of the illegal vendors whose market stalls were destroyed by municipal police over the last 3 days are returning to their previous vending points to sell their wares, while the council insists that they all have to leave. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Thousands of Zimbabweans are expected to attend a prayer rally at Zimbabwe grounds in Harare tomorrow for Occupy Africa Unity Square leader Itai Dzamara, who was allegedly abducted 4 months ago. One of the organizers of the rally, Bishop Anselmo Magaya of Grace Ablaze Ministries International, says all is set for the rally, which was postponed 2 weeks ago due to interference by some political parties. Dzamara's organization wants President Robert Mugabe to resign, saying he has failed to properly run the country since independence from British rule in 1980. Bishop Magaya speaks to Studio 7's Gibbs Dube about the rally.
We've invited a number of churches, we've invited a number of civil society, and as well as various political leaderships. We have opened up, you know, had a press conference on Wednesday, and we made it very clear that everybody is welcome to attend that prayer rally. But it is not going to be the politicians, they're not going to be players. They will come, they will be part of the service. They will, of course, give solidarity messages to the effect that Itai Dzamara has to be released or has to be looked for. And, you know, they will also express, of course, their commitment to peace and justice and security of persons.
Are you getting any blessings from the government?
Government, yeah. You remember the High Court gave a court order, so we're actually riding on that court order. That the court order has been given that the Dzamara family, we can be able, with anybody that is interested, to actually hold a prayer such as that. So we wouldn't know exactly what is in the mind of the government, but you know very well that subject matter for which we are gathering is a subject matter that will obviously open up certain things, and I'm sure obviously some of them may not be comfortable with that.
That was Bishop Anselmo Magaya of Grace Ablaze Ministries International speaking with Studio 7 from Harare. Charles Nyoni of Occupy Africa Unity Square says most political parties are expected to attend the prayer rally.
This event is going to be very big because we have managed to invite all the big people of churches here in Zimbabwe. They are going to be there, and all the political leaders as well as the entire civic society of Zimbabwe.
When you look at the politics behind Mr. Dzamara, don't you think that maybe it has been hijacked by certain political parties?
To us, we don't care. All we care is anyone who shares sentiments with us on behalf of Itai is free and welcome to come on board. And if any political party realizes that they have lost relevance and Itai is the only thing that they can use his name to gain relevance, then that's up to them and their conscience. But to us, we simply call upon every Zimbabwean, whether you are from ZANU-PF or from MDC or from whichever party you are from, we call upon every Zimbabwean to join hands and come in on board.
That was Charles Nyoni of Occupy Africa Unity Square speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
The United Nations International Ebola Recovery Conference officially opened today in New York with United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, President Robert Mugabe, who is also the African Union Chair, and the presidents of Sierra Leone, Liberia, and Guinea, expressing optimism that fresh strategies will be found to tackle the Ebola virus, which left thousands of people dead since its outbreak late last year. Studio 7's Tatenda Gumbo reports.
The conference, seeking to mobilize resources to support recovery efforts, opened with Ban Ki-moon praising the international community in tackling the Ebola outbreak. Ki-moon said these efforts assisted in containing the outbreak.
I commend more than 800 African volunteers who deployed through the AU Ebola support mechanism. I also thank the countries that answered my call to send in logistical support, medical teams, crisis managers, and aid for safe and dignified burials.
Mr. Mugabe also praised the efforts of the international community for the gains recorded in the fight against Ebola.
We, however, should remind ourselves that health epidemics bring with them far-reaching consequences on the economic, social, and cultural structures of the affected societies. In that regard, it is important to recognize and emphasize the need to embrace inclusive and complementary Ebola response mechanisms.
He said these mechanisms should have a realistic focus on capacity building, strengthening health delivery systems, improving access to safe water and sanitation, and reviving economic activities which have been disrupted by the outbreak. Mr. Mugabe warned Africans to remain prepared for any Ebola outbreak.
We know the underlying issues that drove and exacerbated the outbreak. Those weaknesses still exist and need to be comprehensively addressed so that we guarantee and maintain the momentum we have built.
The World Health Organization puts the death toll of the outbreak at more than 11,000, mainly in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. Mr. Mugabe added the international community should support the recovery of these nations, including its economic recovery.
We reiterate the African Union's call for debt cancellation for Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone, as this will free up the country's resources and allow them to focus on investing in recovery and in building resilience to ensure that they can effectively address any potential resurgence of the virus.
Dr. Emerson Pazara of the Zimbabwe Hospital Doctors Association told Studio 7 the president nailed it, though all this depends on the availability of funds.
The only way to avert that crisis is to be in a position to put funds and to mobilize human resources and to set up certain structures to avert those crises.
The African Union will on July 20th hold an Ebola conference in Malabo, Equatorial Guinea, for AU response on recovery efforts. Reporting for Studio 7 in Washington, this is Tatenda Gumbo.
More than 25 solar companies will converge in Bulawayo for a fair tomorrow to showcase their products and raise awareness on the efficiency and importance of harnessing solar energy. The exhibition, which will be held at the City Hall, is organized by SNV Netherlands Development Organization and runs under the theme Solar Kumusha, Isola Ekaya, and Zirukufaya Ziyakipa Ngesola. Reporter Ntungamili Nkomo, reached solar expert Tendai Mukucha, who works for Exemplar Solar System, which is also exhibiting tomorrow.
Basically, it's about exhibiting the companies who are specializing in solar products, be it in supply or in the installation, and it's to raise also their awareness of solar and its benefits to the general public, and how best we can harness this energy of solar, which is a free source of energy.
And what's the uptake of solar energy in the country? How is it resonating with the people?
People generally, they are interested. So in a nutshell, solar is a free source of energy, which if anyone is willing to or is able to buy the equipment which is required to harness this energy, it is a free form of energy where you can avoid inconveniences of not having energy or power at any particular time. So So generally people are interested, but the major setback, I should say, is the financing or the initial investment in acquiring the equipment so that you can be able to use solar energy. But in general, people, everyone, I would say, would love to have solar.
That was a solar expert Tendai Mukucha on the line with reporter Ntungameli Nkomo from Bulawayo.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
Blessing Zulu gives us a critical analysis of the Greece crisis against the background of Zimbabwe's historical economic wars for the past decade.
Stay tuned for today's Premier Soccer League matches.
And will a commission of inquiry into Zimbabwean soccer save the beautiful game?
But first, a look at regional and international news.
Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras sought his left-wing Syriza party support Friday for a new budget austerity package ahead of Parliament's vote on the Greek government's latest proposal to the European Union for a $60 billion financial bailout plan. The new plan by Mr. Tsipras' government calls for pension cuts, tax increases and other austerity measures more stringent than an earlier proposal that Greek voters rejected in a referendum Sunday.
Reports are from Mogadishu say Al-Shabaab gunmen attacked two hotels in the Somali capital Friday evening. Initial accounts say car bombs exploded at the gates of the Hohelie and Siyad hotels and that the gunmen stormed the hotels.
One of the seven FIFA officials arrested in Zurich as part of an American corruption probe has agreed to be extradited to the United States. The official, who initially had contested his extradition, agreed to be extradited on Thursday. Swiss officials said they would not give details of when he would be handed over.
And an honor guard from the South Carolina Highway Patrol has taken down the Confederate flag that has flown on the grounds of the southern U.S. state capital for more than 50 years. The move comes 3 weeks after the racially inspired murders of 9 African-American church members in Charleston, South Carolina.
Greece has become the first developed nation to default on a loan from the International Monetary Fund, missing a more than $1.6 billion repayment to the global crisis lender. Zimbabwe was the last country to default in 2001. Somalia has been in arrears since 1987 and Sudan since 1984. But are there any parallels between Zimbabwe and Greece? Studio 7's Blessing Zulu reports.
Greece joins the company of Zimbabwe, Somalia and Sudan in falling behind in its payments to the IMF. The situation in Greece resembles what happened to Zimbabwe before dollarization. Zimbabweans can testify that it was a time of gnashing of teeth as the cash crisis worsened. It persisted until December 2013 as banks even resorted to giving people vouchers, as Trimompofu told Studio 7 at the time.
People were given the vouchers to access the groceries, and then those people were told that you are supposed to buy the grocery that is not less than $100. It was not their choice, but it was employers' choice.
Former Zimbabwe Employers Confederation President John Mufukari said the cash crunch affected business. A Bulawayo resident, Melusi Moyo, concurred with Mufukari's account.
There's no cash, and what we were told is that we were only allowed to be given 250 due to the cash shortage.
A similar meltdown is happening in Greece. Economists say the closing of banks are clear signs that Athens' 5-year battle to stay in the shared euro currency may be coming to a dead end. panicked Greek citizens like Zimbabweans before them are pulling their money from their accounts while they still could. ATMs in Athens are running out of money and tensions are reaching boiling point as Greeks stand in line for hours for cash. Lines are forming at gas stations as worried residents top off their tanks for what could be a protracted period of time in a cashless nation. In Athens, crowds of anxious elderly Greeks have been thronging banks beginning before dawn, struggling to withdraw their weekly maximum of $134. This after the government reopened some banks to help pensioners who don't have bank cards. This is an experience that Zimbabweans are well too familiar with. Former Finance Minister Tendai Biti says Greece, like Zimbabwe, did not live within its means.
For a long time, under different socialist governments or social democratic governments led by the Papandreou family, the Greeks have been eating what they've not been killing. In other words, the consumption levels were not matched by the production level. So the Greeks were actually having an artificial economy. There's no way you can ask for help and you are not prepared to show that monies that are being paid by the taxpayers of other countries and you're going to create conditions that you can actually reform. In other words, you can't have your cake and eat it. So Greece are behaving like ZANU-PF and that's unacceptable.
Biti says for the IMF to forgive Greece at the expense of Zimbabwe and other struggling countries, this might be problematic.
Two things must happen. If Greece has to get out of this. Number one, either the international community forgives their debt totally, but if they do, it means that they are encouraging hundreds of countries which are irresponsible, including Zimbabwe and many other countries in Europe, many other countries in Southeast Asia, to simply say, well, you can be reckless and the international community will bail you out. To me, the most obvious thing that is going to happen is that Greece will have to exit the European Union, the European Commission.
University of Zimbabwe economics professor Tony Hawkins says Zimbabwe, like Greece, faces the problem of being tied to a currency it cannot control.
You know, I think the first lesson that a lot of people are drawing is if you are tied into a currency that is too strong for you, which is what we are in Zimbabwe, and what the Greeks are as well, I think, you have a problem. And that is essentially where we are at this stage in this country. The Greeks at least can go back to the drachma. We are, because our debts are in dollars, we do have a problem. And I don't see any way out.
Hawkins says the IMF and the World Bank are ignoring a growing debt crisis in Greece in particular and the world in general, which has wide implications.
There was a time just after 2009 dollarization when they took the issue seriously. They don't any longer because they don't know the answer. So they just pretend it's not there. And it's quite worrying because, as you can see, we're just becoming more and more an informal economy. Look at the vendor crisis in Harare is a sort of classic example of that.
Chairman of the Zimbabwe Coalition on Debt and Development, Joy Mabenge, says the austerity measures demanded by the IMF might have contributed to the defaulting of both Harare and Athens.
But the parallels are really that the default speaks volumes about failures of a neoliberal project, the failures of the Washington Consensus and the failures really of austerity measures, particularly when it comes to forcing governments to cut back on a provision of social services. However, the two countries are also not easily comparable because Greece is arguably probably one of the developed countries and Zimbabwe is a developing country.
Some economists argue that mismanagement is to a large degree the cause of Athens and Harare's financial troubles and only strong political will can address the crises. Reporting for Studio 7, this is Blessing Zulu in Washington, D.C.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
2014 saw no significant improvements in North Korea's deplorable human rights situation. According to the latest State Department Human Rights Report, which was just released, North Korea continues to deny its people basic freedoms, such as the freedoms of speech, press, assembly, association, religion, movement, and workers' rights. Furthermore, reports continued of a vast network of political prison camps in which conditions were often harsh and life-threatening, and prisoners were subjected to forced labor, starvation, torture, rape, and forced abortions. Defectors continued to report extrajudicial killings, disappearances, arbitrary detention, arrests of political prisoners, and torture. The judiciary was not independent and did not provide fair trials. Reports continued of severe punishment of some repatriated refugees and their family members. There were also reports of female victims of trafficking among refugees and workers crossing the border into China. The people of North Korea, said U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Democracy, Human Rights, and Labor Tom Malinowski, should enjoy the same rights and freedoms as the people of South Korea and the people of every country in the world who are able to speak their minds and elect their leaders and to travel where they want, and not to be placed in labor camps because of something they've said or thought or because of who their relatives are. In recent years inside North Korea, there has been far greater awareness among the population of what their rights are and of how people outside of North Korea live. What has sustained this regime over many years, said Assistant Secretary Malinowski, has been its ability to deny people that knowledge. And its ability to do that has eroded considerably in the last few years. And we are doing everything we can to try to get knowledge and information to the people of North Korea so that this trend continues. Change takes time, said Assistant Secretary Malinowski. But when it comes, it often surprises us and goes very quickly. And I think that day will come when we see that happen in North Korea.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
And in sports news, new ZPC Kariba coach Sande Chizambwa got his first point in three games after his side drew 0-0 with Cholocho Pirates in the first game of the second phase of the 30-game Castle Lager Premier Soccer League program. Chizambwa's side lost their home game 1-0 to the same team last weekend. At the same time, India beat Zimbabwe by 4 runs in the first of their 3 ODI series at Harare Sports Club. India batted first, scoring 255 for 6 in their allotted 50 overs, while Zimbabwe could only manage 251 for 7 in their overs. Meanwhile, the government-controlled Sports and Recreation Commission has been criticized for failing to deal decisively with problems bedeviling Zimbabwe's football. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us how.
The attacks came up at the ongoing public hearings initiated by the Sports and Recreation Commission-appointed Commission of Inquiry into Football, which is gathering information from all football stakeholders. Football analyst Howard Msonza said the SRC is a toothless organization that has failed to deal decisively with the problems that have long crippled Zimbabwean soccer.
Parliament, in all its wisdom, made sure that we had the Sports and Recreation Commission. What is their mandate? To police all sporting associations. To make sure whoever is stepped out of line is put in line. Look the rot that is in football today. It's disgusting. We might sit here and talk about the ZIFA president, talk about the association secretary general. Those people are there. They can do what they want because they know there is nobody who can stop them. SRC is just a toothless bulldog.
Sports reporter Merit Mzwembiri of the Zimbabwe Broadcasting Corporation told the Obadiah Moyo Chaired Commission that the SRC allowed the president of the Zimbabwe Football Association, Cuthbert Dube, to fund national football from his own pocket, and as a result, he has become untouchable and the SRC cannot take action on him.
We allowed that man to fund football from his own pocket as a nation. Maybe the SRC was quiet on that because he was assisting them and covering up holes. But what do we do to him? Because we owe that man.
The public hearings are set for Blawayo this weekend. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Thanks, Michael. We'll give you the second edition of this story tomorrow right here on Studio 7. Don't miss it.
Professor, just to remind our listeners to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. Today, the discussion is about the removal of vendors from Harare's Central Business District.
And now, a quick recap of today's top stories.
Harare Municipal Police officers allegedly set on fire some goods today owned by street traders as the local authority intensified its crackdown on illegal vendors.
And thousands of Zimbabweans are expected to attend a prayer rally for the missing Itai Dzamara.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now, please stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Sitandekile Mhlanga and Ntungamilinkomo. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.